way back in 1979, when ice sheets still covered most of the earth, I was in high school at Boylan High School. And then Father Dorn, presently Bishop Dorn, or retired Bishop Dorn, was my marriage and family life teacher. And he had us read a book by C.S. Lewis entitled The Four Loves. And I loved that book. It was an awesome book. And I think about that oftentimes, and I read sections of that occasion. I use it for different classes and things of that nature. But C.S. Lewis, what he tried to do was take this understanding of the virtue of love and sort of break it apart and try to define what love is all about, how we engage in love and how we share our relationship with love, the love of God and our love with one another. Because for C.S. Lewis, this is central of everything that we are about, because we are formed and made and created in the image and likeness of God because of God's love, through God's love, by God's love, we've come to be and may be maintained and sustained. And God's love and mercy continues to wash over us. And that love is so important for C.S. Lewis. He takes this and looks at this very closely. And he says, you know, there's the stoge love, and that's the empathy. When we can feel for one another, we can engage in each other because we have commonality. And sometimes that is the great joys that we have in life, having children and being married and being retired and moving about throughout life, that there's great joys in our life and we feel for one another. There's also the great sadnesses that we engage in as well, the death and suffering and hurts and pains, and we feel for each other. And there's that kind of friendship, he says. There's also the philia love, that we are friends, that we live in the same neighborhood and work in the same place, that we are in the same team or like the same team, and we have developed a friendship with one another. And that friendship continues to grow and we engage with one another in our lives as well. There's the eros, and we don't want to say the eros, we don't want to go down the pathway of triple X and things of that nature, but the eros is that Star of David eyes that we develop when we gaze upon one whom we love intensely. It is that heartthrob, it is that sweaty palms, it is that feeling, the butterflies in the stomach that we have for one another. It's that kind of love that we have, a boyfriend and girlfriend love, love of husband and wife for one another. And that's what eros is about, and agape love, and that's charity, unconditional love. And we see that throughout the ages, that God's agape love is shown and showered upon men and women. When people have wandered away from God, God draws them back again and rejoices that they are part of his family, part of his communion and community, agape love. And we're called to participate that as well. And C.S. Lewis would maintain that when we talk about love, loving God and loving one another, all of these elements are essential because all of these elements overlap one another and they inform one another and they support each other. And when we engage with God, we need to have that friendship with God. Obviously, we can't have an unconditional love of God, except we push away all the other things. We spew out that which is sinful and evil and resist the temptation to move away from God. We can't give anything to God except our praise and our faithfulness. But God is our part of our communion, our community. God is someone that we go to. As God continues to give to us, we also rejoice in being called God's children. And we allow ourselves to walk then in that relationship with God the Father. And St. Paul, when he talks about our spiritual transformation, he said our spiritual transformation is shaped daily, is modeled always on the Son of God, the image and likeness of God the Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we live out that perfect union with God. And just as Jesus Christ is the living image of that perfect virtue of love, that we strive then in our own lives to push away those things that are not about God, that are not about righteousness or justice or peace, so that we might become more perfected in the image and likeness of that perfect virtue. Jesus says today, he says, my children, I give you a new commandment, love one another. We might say, what's so new about that? Well, Jesus shows us what it means to love one another as he washes the feet of the apostles, as he sits near those who are the sickly, the sinful, those who are grieving, those who find life overwhelming, those who are on the outside of society, Jesus sits with them and eats with them and gathers them around him and extends to them the mercy and love of God the Father, reveals to them that they are members of the kingdom of God. And that's the kind of love that we ought to have, that we need to have as well. A few weeks ago, Pope Francis came out with Amoris Laetitia. And the document he wrote was sort of a reflection upon the last two councils on marriage and family living that occurred in Rome. And in this, Pope Francis interprets the famous hymn of Paul's love to the first letter of Corinthians, that love is patient, love is kind, and love is never self-seeking, but rather love is always courageous, that love is always forgiving, that love always lifts up one another. And that's what Francis wants us to understand and recognize. And Francis goes back to that recognition and understanding that we are made in the image and likeness of God, a creation that God breathes life into us, that we are members of God's family, members of God's unity. We are in communion with God. And because of that relationship we have, that all that we do is always directed towards that image that we have with God, that we maintain with God. And we are made as men and women. And it's something awesome and wonderful for us to behold our maleness and our femaleness. And we gather together as men and women in the sacrament of marriage. And the sacrament of marriage is more simply than getting together as men and women, but rather it becomes a sacrament, becomes a living entity, a living understanding, a commitment that we make to this other individual. And we live for and with this other individual throughout our lives. And in it, husbands and wives give life to one another, and they bear life as well as they bring children into the world. And how awesome that is. And Francis wants us to know that and understand that. But most importantly, Francis says we need to be understanding of one another, that we need to be loving and caring of all peoples. And in chapter 8 in this whole document, that's where people are pulling out their hair and they're running around a little bit and tearing their garments about. Because Francis looks at, as Paul talks about, that we need to reach out to those who don't always share our same concept or understanding of life, but we still extend to them love and mercy. Just as Jesus Christ sat next to those who were broken or afraid, whose lives seemed to be at the fringe, that we need to extend to them love and mercy as well. And that's where we build up a community, a body of Christ. Is that we extend to them that same love, that same kindness, that same compassion to all men and women, always, everywhere. We lift each other up. That just because we say, well, we have the truth, we don't beat them upside the head with the truth. But we hold their hands, we walk with them, we support them, we bring healing and peace into the lives of all people everywhere. And that we continue to be maintaining this communion of love. Just as we are in communion with God the Father, we share that same communion and community with one another. And Francis wants us to know that that's the joy of love. That's the community, the body of Christ that we continue to build, we continue to build up as well in his image and likeness as well. St. Paul the Apostle argues that love is not primarily a feeling, but rather a commitment. It is the commitment to do the will of God the Father. And sometimes, even though we find the love we engage in can be easily very superficial or very petty, that we need to move away from those kinds of outward shows, rather engage always in the heart of God and the heart of one another as well, how important that is. And Pope Francis wants to remind us that there's things that kill that love relationship, things such as pornography and things such as manipulation, things such as anger and hostility, and all these kinds of things that we sometimes put up as blockades against that relationship, that real relationship, that life-giving relationship with God and one another. That when we are hostile to one another, when we try to engage into a relationship for our own benefit or something that satisfies our own needs or our own superficiality, that's not love, Pope Francis would say. But love always gives of itself. Love always opens up life for one another and with one another as well. And how important that is, to be sure. We look at mothers and fathers. how they give each other themselves to their children in a sense, in a selfless love. Parents give everything, even their lives, to their children. Jesus didn't say to us, this is a suggestion, love one another, or this is an idea, you might want to pursue this. Here's something to think about. But rather, he said, no, love one another, just as God the Father loves you. And what's that image that we hold on to? What's the cross? The Paschal mystery. The passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we can go to that cross again and again, when we can embrace the cross, enter that into that mystery of the cross, and say, here's the yuck, the gunk, the stuff that pollutes my life, that holds me back from loving as I ought to. Here's times and places and spaces where I can't forgive, where I can't reconcile. We need to move beyond that, to break those walls down, to embrace each other, just as Jesus Christ embraced all humanity. It was Jesus Christ who becomes the living image of that perfect virtue, so he could give his disciples a new commandment. He tells his followers, by this, everyone will know you are my followers if you love one another. It's a simple command that he gives us. But the ideal, the striving to do that, means that we seek out the cross, seek out that dying and rising throughout our lives, continually throughout our lives, that we become that faithful witness. Remember James and John? James and John want to live in that relationship with Jesus Christ. They want to follow Jesus Christ. But they're sort of knuckleheads, if you will. Now, I always think about the one passage where Mrs. Zebedee brings James and John. I always imagine Mrs. Zebedee having a babushka and having this long, long dress, this cotton house dress, and coming up to Jesus. Mr. Jesus, I want you to let my boy sit at your right hand and your left hand. That's what I'd like you to do. But Jesus asked that question to James and John, which he asks all of us. Can you drink from the cup of suffering? Can you go to the cross? Can you die with me? Because that's what we ought to do, we need to do, if we are to live in that relationship with love, is that sometimes that love means that we have to make very difficult decisions, difficult choices, that we have to challenge one another, we have to challenge ourselves. And then in that relationship, that's how we build up that connection to God, that connection with one another, when we make those hard choices. That love is not all rainbows and fluffy and unicorns and dancing through the flowered fields, but rather is a relationship that continues to grow and nurture itself and nurture one another as well. It gives life and healing to all people. And that's what Jesus is saying, in effect, that you'll taste suffering. Everyone will. But the suffering makes us deep. We can allow the suffering to make us deep in that sense that we offer only hostility. We're angry all the time. We push against the things that we don't like. Or we can allow it to make us deep, in which we are forgiving and compassionate. We strive to bring glory and life into the lives of one another. Jesus defines love in a very different way than we do. For him, obtaining that love relationship is not about a gold medal or being champion or winning an Oscar or being the object of envy because of our looks or our achievements. It's about the ability to embrace the cross and to bear the burdens of one another. It's the ability to hold the hands of each other and to walk with one another in love and compassion. Our model of faith was raised up to eternal life, offering us a path of following him home. And that's where John tells us, no more death, no more suffering or mourning, crying or pain, when we allow ourselves to rest in the love of God and one another, that the Lord is good to all. His compassion is over all men and women that he has made, and all men and women are invited to rest in that relationship forever and always. Our spiritual transformation is shaped daily by modeling ourselves on Jesus Christ, who is the living image of perfect virtue.